So we have Anis Astier is going to tell us about the WASM 101, which is very nice to pronounce. I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Give it up.
Thank you. Quick presentation. My name is Anis. This is not my first talk at FOSDEM. This is my first time here in the Rust Dev Room. You can have my find my social media here. Follow me if you want. I've been learning Rust for 5 years, on and off, and I wanted a bigger project, you know, to learn a bit more about Rust. And I said, hey, why not write an emulator? And I started this project. This is a Game Gear emulator. The Game Gear is this small device. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Game Gear. So yeah, it's a Sega handheld from the 1990s. So this is the name of my emulator, Gears. You can see it's written in Rust. It depends only on the standard library, or at least the core of it depends only on the standard library. It has a native UI. This is how it looks like. It works. And after I developed this native UI, I thought, hey, maybe I should port it to the web. Okay. But to do that, I would need to use WebAssembly. So quick show of hands, who here has never heard of WebAssembly? Oh, it's interesting. Who here has heard of WebAssembly but never used it? And who here has heard of WebAssembly but never used it and developed things with it? Oh, many people. OK, quite interesting. So WebAssembly is a new platform. And you can think of it as a new platform, a new VM, to port code. It defines the text, bytecode format. It's a take on the Java compile once, run everywhere system. It works in the browser, where it's as secure as JavaScript. It's sandbox. It also has many other use cases. You can work, it will work on servers, you can use it in fast, well, it has many use cases. So I want to port my emulator. So there's this first level, which is how do I build my code? How do I compile it? So let's go through this journey. How do you compile a WebAssembly? I assume you know about Rust, but if you don't, usually you install Rust with this tool called RustUp. You need to add a new target with RustUp, and then you also need this tool called WASM BindGen, which will bridge your WebAssembly code with the JavaScript world and generate some things. Use RustUp, you use WASM BindGen to, you build your code with the new target, and then you use WASM BindGen to generate a directory with JavaScript. You serve that with an HTTP browser, and that's how it works. You don't have to use WASM BindGen directly. You can use tools that integrate WASM BindGen and call it. You have WASM. There are many such tools. I've selected a few. WASM Server Runner. It comes from the Bevy community. You have Cargo Run WASM. You have Trunk, which is even higher level, and WASM Pack, which is from the Rust WASM project. I won't go into the details. You can find the commands and how to run them here. I did a quick comparison of those tools from, let's say, the lowest level tools to the highest levels. WASM BindGen, everyone uses it. It's like the reference tool. Then you have a bit higher level tools, and then more opinionated tools like WASM Pack and Trunk. WASM Pack will generally be used to generate libraries that you can use from the JavaScript world, whether with NPM, for example. And Trunk will integrate even more, will do even more things like compress your HTML assets and things like that. So you know how to build. How do you run the code? You usually write a binary. So you have a main function, and the entry point of your main is how it works. Or you can build a library. And usually you annotate your entry point with the WASM BindGen macro start. And you say, OK, this function is my entry point. You start executing from here. So we know how to compile, okay. let's continue porting our application, and go to the second level of porting the emulator. This emulator I've written called Gears for the desktop UI, I only selected dependencies that work with WebAssembly. So they all are WASM capable, they work with the web platform, have pixels, WinIt, Sepal, GearOS, which is for gamepads. We'll go deeper into that. So they all support WebAssembly. How hard can it be? It should be very simple. Well, it depends. For pixels and WinIt, pixels is a library to make a frame buffer. It's basically a frame buffer library that's GPU accelerated. So you can write pixels to coordinates, and then you run it will run that with WGPU. Pixels use WGPU, it's another crate, to do the rendering. And in order to work on the web, you need to enable the WebGL feature of WGPU. In the future, it will also use WebGPU, but that's another subject. The initialization of pixels is also different because it uses WinIt, and WinIt needs to be initialized differently if you want to render your UI in Canvas in the browser. And last but not least, the initialization of WGPU is async. So you need to, in my emulator, I never used Rust async. I needed to add that. So I use WASM bygen features to bridge the async world from Rust to the JavaScript promises. To port the audio part, I use the Sepal crate, which also works on the web. It's really the reference crate to play audio. It needs to a crate feature as well. There were also some challenges because my emulator started directly, and if you use a browser, you can't start playing audio directly, and that's actually a good thing because it means. You can't, play audio on anyone's browser and, without interaction. So you need to add interaction, make sure the user wanted to do this action. Another issue I had with the standard library, I used MPSC channels, and they don't work on the web platform. So I wrote a quick channel myself. Because it was in the core, I didn't want to. There are other channels that work on the web platform, but I prefer to implement something that with no other dependencies. For time, usually for synchronization in an emulator, you need to know about the current time, and for the channels in the standard library, the time APIs are not available on the web platform. So there are crates that do the bridge. Like I use the instant crate. You can also use web time, which also works. And this is the code, the use code. If it's for the WASM32 target, use instant. If not, use the standard import. For GearOS, which is it was very nice. There was no action needed in order to support working the browser. Everything worked out of the box. Except the gamepad API, I would say on browsers is not as much mature as on native, so there is some rebinding to do. There are good reasons for that. For example, browsers don't want you to be able to fingerprint someone with the gamepad API, but then it means the bindings are not mature enough. Not the bindings, but the key bindings, which is something else. And then during porting, I also had bugs that were entirely my fault. I used a bit too much U-size, mostly because I like to index slices that's what you need to do, index slices. And WASP32, as it says in the name, is a 32-bit platform. So I had overflows, when I had multiplications, additions. Grew bigger than 32 bits. Although all these were caught because in my project, in my cargo config, I have cargo.toml, I have overflow checks equals true. So this is caught by default in Rust. It worked well. I just replaced U size with U64 when needed, and that's it. So let's take a quick break and let's go through a demo of what it looks like. So just for first them, I brought to you a game, which is this one. I will lend it to you for a few minutes. It's a first them exclusive. I recommend you play this demo on, not necessarily on mobile, it will work, but you won't be able to control it. So maybe more on desktop browser or anything that has a keyboard or a gamepad controller. I'll let you a bit more time to load it. It might not work for you if you don't have WebGL enabled on your browser, but otherwise it should. If you have Firefox or Chromium, here's what it looks like. Loaded the page, hit play, and basically the emulator starts. If you have audio, it will play audio, and yeah, this is what you should see basically. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it works. I can play it. Who here successfully runs the demo? Just quick show of hands. Who managed to run it? Okay. Thanks. Okay. Let's continue. So we had this porting. Okay, mostly worked. I showed you it worked. There were a few tricks I picked along the way. Some that are not mandatory, but let's see what we have here. First thing, if you're used to debugging like me with println, you print code on the terminal. It probably won't work. It won't work as is on the browser. So you want to use the web console. There's this console log crate which does the binding of the console. If you use the log crate, it's really well integrated with the log levels and things like that. I also recommend that you use the console error panic hook crate. This one helps show when your program crashes. For example, I showed you the overflow checks, it can panic. It will show you basically the panic in the web console, in the console. So yeah, that's how it's registered. That's how you register a console panic hook. Another trick I picked along the way is the cargo config. For this demo, I showed you there's a bit of a DOM interactions and some API I use are JavaScript APIs, which I use directly from Rust, and I use the WebSys crate, which allows accessing those APIs for this demo. And in order to be able to access those APIs, which they are considered unstable, and you need to add an environment variable, you know, when you build, which is a bit annoying to add every time. So you can add these Rust flags directly in your cargo config.toml. This way you can build with cargo build, and it will work. Another trick, if you're used to having VS Code or basically an integrated development environment, you probably are using Rust Analyzer, and if you have code that works on multiple platforms, like me, so there's native, there's WebAssembly, you probably want to tell Rust Analyzer to build the two different architectures. This way, you'll have completion on the WebAssembly part. So this is done as well in the code cargo config.toml by specifying multiple build targets. So when you will build, you will have multiple build targets. There are some drawbacks for that. Is that it won't work with the workspace member. So it must be at the root of your workspace. It also means that when you use cargo run, since you have multiple targets, cargo run will tell you, oh no, you have to pick one target in order to run, which makes sense. But yeah, it can be a bit annoying. So let's go with what did I think of this experience of porting this emulation? What's my feedback? I would say, in general, it's very easy to port standalone code to WebAssembly if you're using Rust. I did not change anything in my app's architecture. The total port took a few hours, and over a few days. And as I told you, I added custom init code for initialization, which is async, and for DOM interaction, which is a demo you've seen. To go a bit further, what I won't talk about in this talk is how to build a web UI, for example. You probably want to use Vue or Leptos, because I don't recommend accessing DOM APIs directly. This is very ugly, not really ergonomic. I did it, you know, so you don't have to try. And those library developers do a great job to do that. I didn't try building a complete UI, as you saw, nothing is configurable, etc. I'm thinking of building a UI with Slint or IGUI, but I'm not really satisfied with the current status of font rendering. I know it's something that's being worked on, but yeah. Just like as well, minification and WASP in WASP size, it's not WASP specific. There are many Rust tutorials you can find on minification, and I didn't do any performance measurement. I can tell you that it works. It also worked on native, but yeah, I don't have any special feedback for that. And that's it for my presentation.
Question at the back.
We have a question there.
Yes, I have a question. When you build websites today, they have to be responsive. So you use media queries in CSS style sheets to adapt to different kinds of resolutions so that on the mobile, tablet, or desktop, it still looks nice. Can you also do this in WebAssembly, that you would say, if I run the game in portrait or landscape mode, or if you do it on a bigger screen, that it takes care of the resolution? And will it also scale the graphics accordingly?
So there are multiple aspects to that. If you're building a web UI, you probably do that with CSS. If you use Leptos or you will be able to generate HTML, whether on the server or on the client. And then it's basically the same thing as web development. You have CSS, you skim this HTML directly. For this demo, this is an emulator. It's a bit specific, especially because it's a full screen application. So basically, it takes the whole width of your screen, and that's it. That's how it works. It's how it works on mobile and tablets and desktops.
Yes, but it's not that you can combine those and that you can also do something in JavaScript or CSS.
You can do that. Yeah. You can find tutorials on the Rust WASM. Book. I have you can look at the WASM Bindgen guide and in the Rust WASM project, which is this URL. You can find information on how to bridge the two worlds. And if you decide to use a crate, as I recommend, like you or Leptos, they also have a lot of documentation on how to do that.
I understand. Maybe a generic question: why did you choose Rust? Did you also consider programming in C++ or? Are there any advantages of using Rust compared to C++?
That's a great question. It was actually covered in other talks, but usually I like using Rust because it's a very nice language. It has nice ergonomics. It's fast and native. It has more safety guarantees than C++. Great ecosystem, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Any other question?
I'm curious what your main loop looks like. Like, do you spend all the time polling for events, or do you get called back from the browser? And does the browser hang if you never sleep?
That's a good question. I did not modify my main loop, but mostly because I use Winit. So I use a Winit event loop. This is specific to the Winit crate. And let me think. No, nothing was modified in the main loop. It spins I don't remember how many times, but yeah, basically the length of a frame every time, and then it gets refreshed. Yeah, that's it.
Okay. And that's all the time we have.